Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
You can almost see the end of the week from here, as this is the Thursday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Otherwise, while you're out there, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the new blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings. So if you didn't see yesterday's, you can still swing on over there, check it out. It's right there at the top of the page. And you should hang out over there anyways, because you just never know what's going to pop up whenever at that good old sportstimeradio.com. Of course, while you are there, hit that link and get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, Dan and I would greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at
Dan the Man with three.
All right, Dan. I heard a rumor today that you lost your job as a mall Santa because a lady complained you called her a hoe three times. Oh, sorry. No, I couldn't help myself there. All right, Dan, I'm going to give you one guess on who the team with the longest winning streak in the NBA Eastern Conference is.
Well, it's not the Cavaliers, the Chicago Bulls.
Yes, believe it or not, the Chicago Bulls have won 7 games in a row. They actually have the second longest winning streak in the NBA currently right now. Golden State's at 10 in a row. They're putting it on the line tonight here. Just about a half hour. They're in Cleveland to take on, you know, good old LeBron. As far as I know, LeBron is playing. I haven't seen if, you know, he's taking a night off or Dwayne Wade is taking a night off. But are we continuing? Is it 8 in a row tonight? Do they find a way to beat Cleveland, who is, you know, obviously marginally better in the standings? You know, they're 23-9, and the Bulls are a 10-20, but they did get out of the cellar with this winning streak. They passed Atlanta, so they're no longer the worst team in the NBA.
10 years ago, I would say it would just be kind of a blowout, kind of like last night with the Bulls versus the Magic, which I was not surprised they won, but I was surprised at the blowout. But, you know, even with some of the games that the Warriors have won, you know, they won by 3 points. You know, just like Cavaliers lost by 3 Tuesday night in Milwaukee. And then, you know, I think the Bulls have a shot to beat them. It is Thursday night.
Yeah, there are, you know, it's not on TNT. It is a TNT night. But the first game TNT has is Boston at New York. So your Knicks are playing. You get to watch them. And then the wrap-up game there is San Jose at Utah. The other two games on the schedule have Toronto at Philadelphia and then Memphis at Phoenix. We'll get the Bulls locally on WGN here if you're looking for that. But, you know, this, of course, is, you know, the build-up. I don't believe the Cavaliers play again until Monday, when, of course, they face the Golden State Warriors. Now, it is being reported already that Stephen Curry won't be available for Christmas Day. That's the second game of the day. Are you a little surprised that didn't get the primetime slot, the 7 p.m. deal? Or do you think maybe they're basing it so people can watch it? Because obviously Christmas Day, a lot of people eat early. You think they based it so you can sit down at your Christmas dinner table and watch the game while you're eating?
Pretty much. Well, they had to ask the king first what he wanted to do.
Yeah, that's true. When do you want to have Christmas, LeBron? Do you want to be early so you're done and you can go, or how, you know, then you can go out and hit the town, because they are, it's in Golden State, so he's going to be in California. How far of a trip is that, Dan, from the Golden State facility to one of his houses in, you know, I think, is he in Los Angeles? Is that where he bought a house?
Yeah, I think it's about a 3-4 hour flight.
Oh, okay. So, you know, there are some, you know, the Christmas Day games, you know, the NBA sets it up to try to obviously get the most interesting matchups. And they do start out, they have Philadelphia at New York. So, you know, that's pretty solid. Cleveland and Golden State are game two. Then we get Washington and Boston at game three. Game four is Houston at Oklahoma City. Houston, of course, will be without Chris Paul. And then the night wraps up with Minnesota at the Lakers. And that game, it starts off, the first game's on the Mickey Mouse Network, then three are on ABC, and it wraps up with TNT for the Timberwolves and the Lakers. So if you're not doing anything on Christmas, you can sit around and watch basketball all day.
Yeah, I mean, I was planning on putting that on the TV and then, you know, just turning the volume down. They can have Christmas music on the surround sound.
Yeah, you know, it's actually not a bad schedule. You know, I mean, it's just kind of, you know, it's the NBA. I mean, hopefully they'll, you know, we'll get some good games. I mean, luckily for the Knicks, it looks like Kristaps Porzingis will be back. I believe he's actually returning tonight against the Celtics. So barring any kind of, you know, re-aggravation or anything, he should be good to go for Christmas Day as well. So that'll be a big deal there. So, but, I did want to ask you with the NBA, and I don't know or have seen a lot of particulars about this, but they're planning on trying to do an all-star draft, kind of like the NHL did a few years ago. You know, I haven't heard a ton about it or seen a ton about it, but do you like this idea? I mean, is this something, I mean, like, to be fair, the NHL one was kind of fun.
I mean, it's anything to liven the game up or the all-star game, but at the end of the day, I just don't watch it. I just never really got into it. I watched that one year, and then it was kind of cool to see LeBron James and Joakim Noah play together. But then after that, it was, you know, just kind of whatever.
Yeah, you know, what I found really odd, and I don't understand this at all, is, you know, the NBA is doing all this, but as of right now, they've actually announced that they have no plans to televise the draft or even release the draft order. So I don't understand, you know, I mean, this would be the perfect thing, obviously, for you to plug on the NBA network and, you know, get it over there and get some kind of ratings or interest or, you know, maybe even some more subscriptions, depending on where the NBA network comes through. You know, luckily for us, it's part of the package I'm on here. I don't know if it's like that for everybody, but I mean, does it make sense for them not to put it on some kind of, you know, even a social media platform, if it was live on Twitter or Facebook or something?
I think that would make a little bit more sense than their own network.
So, but yeah, I was trying to figure out here if they've named captains or anything, but because the one thing you always wonder is, you know, like if Stephen Curry's a captain, is he picking just Warriors? You know, I mean, are his first four picks Kevin Durant, Clay, or his first three picks Kevin Durant, Clay Thompson, and then Draymond Green in some type of order? You know, is that how that works out? And then, you know, if it's Stephen against LeBron, you know, is LeBron picking a Cavalier? You know, is there somebody he's going to even want to draft?
No, he's picking Chris Paul first.
Yeah, well, except, yeah, well, of course, he's hurt, and there's a chance he won't even be ready for the All-Star game. Well, you know, and that's the thing. I mean, you wonder, does he, you know, is Carmelo his first pick? I mean, you know, as good of friends as they are. So, you know, it's just odd that, you know, how it kind of works out or how they're going to do it, but... you know, I mean, the sad part is it still won't change the game. The game is still going to suck. It's going to be, you know, 175 to 170, and nobody's going to sniff defense, and, you know, that's just how it's going to go. But, you know, at least they're trying to make it, you know, they're trying to do something.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, is it going to make you want to – watch the game? If they don't televise this, are you gonna, you know, will you check out the game a little more to see how the teams ended up, or does it matter to you?
No, it really doesn't matter to me. I mean, if they want to make it really interesting, I think they should just skip it, just take in a week off and not call it an All-Star break, call it mid-season break, and then in the summer. In the summertime, put together an All-Star game outside somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, go for
it. Yeah, well, you know, I mean, if they do it, you know, keep the events, because the events are the best part of it. You know, the dunk, the three-point shooting, you know, the skills challenge, that kind of stuff. And, you know, even like the rookie game and stuff like that, that's not too bad. You know, there's still no defense played in that, but if you've seen enough of the NBA, you've understand the you know, there's no defense played anywhere. So, but yeah, I don't understand it. Yeah, at this point, just give the guys the day off. You know, they probably would all rather have it anyways. You know, like you mentioned, the few days or whatever. You know, and then if they want to compete in the other deals, hey, go ahead. You know, it's up to you.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm proposing a complete elimination of the, not only the game.
A complete shutdown? Like the NHL had when they were there?
Yeah, no, I mean, if you kind of listen to what I said before, just completely shut it down, give them a week off, and then come back in the summer and bring all these events together. I mean, I know they're not in their top, they're not in their basketball shape, so to speak, but I mean, let's be honest, they don't do anything at the All-Star game anyways.
No, it's not. Yeah, like I said, it's not like they're going to play, you know, 100% or, you know, any of that stuff. How,
but I mean,
you know, how it kind of works out.
How kind of innovative or fun would it be to have, you know, the All-Star events, the dunk contest, the three-point in the middle of June, you know, outside? Yeah, go to Rutgers.
When's the CBA up? When's the CBA up so they can negotiate that? So.
I have to look into that. But, I mean, really, I mean, don't you think that would draw your attention a little bit more? You know, I think it would draw people to get there.
You know, it definitely, you know, it's an interesting option compared to what, you know, they've done in the past or, you know, how it worked out.
And if you think about it, they're really the only league that can get away with that or do that. You know, baseball couldn't eliminate the All-Star game and do a winter game, a winter baseball All-Star game. That would never work.
Well, remember, for a while, baseball actually had two All-Star games. They had one during the season and then one after the season. You know, obviously played in a warm weather climate. But, yeah, you know, they've, you know. So, yeah, you know, it would definitely be interesting. It might bring a little attention to the game, you know, besides, you know, Summer League.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoy watching a little bit of Summer League because you get to watch some of the young guys that most likely won't get a whole lot of playing time. But if you kind of intermix the Summer League championships with the All-Star, you know, All-Star game for the NBA, you know, it's good in Vegas, but... you know, bring it outside. You know, maybe not.
Yeah, well, you know what I mean?
But...
plan,
three points,
you know, if you planned it right, maybe they could do it around like the draft and make it like a draft weekend. You know, maybe the draft kicks off the event on a Thursday or something, and then, you know, they go in because, you know, All-Star Weekend has always been multiple days. Maybe that leads into All-Star Weekend.
Not a bad thing.
Oh.
Well, the draft teams and two teams against each other. That would be fun.
Yeah, hey, why not? So, you know, the first, you know, yeah, split, or, you know, you split them into four teams and they play a round robin tournament or something, you know, I mean, so how, you know, how bad could that be? So, but, I found this, I don't know if this is odd to me or how this worked out, but, you know, the NBA list, they released their list for Hall of Fame eligible candidates. And there's 179 of them. Does that seem like a big number to you, or is that just me thinking, you know, that it's just too many?
I mean, why not just include everybody that's never played who hasn't been in the league for 5 years?
Yeah, that's kind of what it seemed like. I mean, now this year we get some, you know, some fun names. You know, Jason Kidd and Steve Nash are on there. Ray Allen is on there. Grant Hill, Chauncey Billups, Richard Hamilton, or Rip, if you want to call him. I wonder if he got in if he would wear the mask. You know, Chris Webber, Ben Wallace, Muggsy Bogues, Tim Hardaway, you know, guys like that, you know, are the players who are involved. And then, you know, it fills out the list with a lot of coaches and college coaches because it's the Basketball Hall of Fame, not the NBA Hall of Fame. So.
Oh, that's where you did it different. I thought you were talking NBA.
Yeah, well, it's actually the official term. It's actually the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame. But, you know, looking at some of the better guys, you know, Dan, Jason Kidd and Steve Nash are 2 and 3 on the all-time assist list. Nash is a 2-time MVP. Do they both get in their first year?
Who was the other one, Nash and who?
Jason Kidd.
I think so.
You know, yeah, you got to think Nash is a lock with 2 MVPs and all the stats he put up with. Kidd is actually 3rd all-time in history with 107 triple-doubles.
Wow.
So I did not realize that. But, you know, then a lot of the other guys I'm not sure of. You know, like Ray Allen was a really good player and obviously, you know, the best first three-point shooter out there in the NBA. He actually holds the record right now for the most three-pointers made until Stephen Curry gets there. you know, Grant Hill, I don't know about. I mean, obviously he was, you know, a great player when he was healthy. You know, Chauncey Billups was a huge player for the Pistons when they were on that championship run. And then Hamilton was kind of in the same boat. But I don't know if those four guys, are they – do you remember enough of them? I mean, were you involved in the league then with it? Or, you know, you remember enough of them to kind of point and say, oh, yeah, that guy's a Hall of Famer?
No, I just, you know, I remember all the talk about Grant Hill, but other than that, I don't remember much about him.
Oh, and I did forget to mention your favorite player now, as we all know, Dan's favorite player is Tim Hardaway Jr. His father is actually one of the nominees, so obviously Tim Hardaway. So maybe he'll get a little bit of a sniff as he was part of that fun Golden State back in the day. Remember when they were Run TMC? I think it was Run TMC is what they called it. So.
Well, and you mentioned Chris Webber. He was one of my guys.
Yeah, you know. Weber, who sadly, no matter how great he ever was going to be, is always going to be remembered as that guy who called the timeout in the NCAA championship game. So, you know, just kind of how it worked out. But, you know, then like some of the guys on here, you know, like Ben Wallace was a great defender, horrible offensive player, couldn't shoot for anything. You know, that's, you know, and then Muggsy Bogues, of course, he's the, what was he, 5'3" or 5'4" or something, had a nice little, yeah, something like that. And then, you know, there's a couple guys like Maury on here. You know, he goes back to those really good 76er teams. And then Sidney Moncrief was another guy who, until injuries kind of cut him short, was a great two-way player at guard, stuff you don't really see anymore. But I don't know. You know, obviously I don't know what they think the qualifications are, but besides Kidd and Nash, I don't know if any of these other guys are actually Hall of Famers. So let me see. The editor wrote an article about the list here. Let me see who he thinks is going in. Yeah, he has Kidd and Nash 1 and 2. See, he believes Ray Allen is a first ballot Hall of Famer, no brainer. I had a little more question about it, I think, than he had. He's got Chauncey Billups as a first ballot guy, automatic. You know, I don't know about that. We mentioned Hill, who he lists as marginal. He likes Ben Wallace. You know, because he was a four-time defensive player of the year. Chris Webber comes on his list 7th. And then the rest of his top 10 are Jack Sikma 8. Tim Hardaway is 9, Dan. And then Kevin Johnson is 10. Those are his top 10 guys, you know, he thinks. But he's got, you know, the four guys going, no problem. So is Kevin Johnson still mayor of Sacramento or whatever? What was he for a while? He was mayor or something. So,
I don't remember. I had issues though.
Yeah.
My mom never bought Jordan, but I got KJ's. They were cheaper.
Ah. Yeah. Well, that's how. Yeah, trust me, I know exactly how that goes. I've never had a pair of Jordans in my life because there's no way in hell my parents were ever going to buy them for me with what they cost. So, I just kind of, you know, whatever.
I'm too far off subject, though, but I mean, at this point in your life, do you even have any desire or care to get a pair of Jordans?
You know, it's that thing right now where I think I would like a pair just to say I actually had a pair at some point in time. You know, just one of those things. But, you know, if that was the case, I would have bought a big baller brand shoe and went that route. So, yeah, you know how that goes. Then I would still be waiting for him and probably would have gotten the wrong shoe. So.
Yeah, I know. It'll be interesting. I don't know. Hall of Fame is, I guess I really don't look into it as much as I do baseball, but for the other sports.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing that caught my eye was just the fact that there were 179 candidates. I was just kind of like, holy crap. So. You know, it was just one of those, one of those goofy things. I wasn't expecting it to be that large of a sample size, you know, because I know, like, even when I see the baseball ballot, I'm like, man, there's a lot of guys eligible. But I don't know if it's ever been 179. But here, I will put the list on the Sports Time Radio Facebook page for you, the link to the article there. So if anybody wants to go out and look at all 179 candidates and try to decide who you think is worthy of Hall of Fame enshrinement, let us know. SportsTimeRadio@hotmail.com. So, and Dan and I will gladly look into it and try to figure it out.
Well, speaking of the page and articles you can read, earlier today we posted an article from MLB trade rumors that Manfred had no idea what Jeter and his group were going to do. And then you could follow that one up with an article about a town hall meeting where the fans really let Jeter and company have it. So I would pose the question, but I know you're not surprised. But I did find it interesting that, you know, Manfred's doing the real political thing. And, you know, he didn't know anything. And knowing about what they're going to do individually to each individual player is not something they ask when a group purchases a team. But I would think for all intents and purposes, intents and purposes, that when interviewing Jeter's group and whoever else, what are your intentions with this team? Almost like, you know, dating your daughter.
Yeah. Are you practicing for that? So.
Yeah, exactly.
You still got quite.
I mean,
you still got quite a few years.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. But I mean, it just. I mean, they pretty much came out and said they wanted to drop the payroll. So how did he not know what they were going to do? What now it's being called a fire sale, not even a salary dump or whatever, a fire sale.
Oh, it pretty much is, isn't it? It, you know, mm-hmm. kind of like when your parents used to put stuff on the lawn to try to give their junk to somebody else. But in this case, it's not junk. They're actually trading away talented Major League Baseball players. Yeah, I actually wanted to give Rob Manfred a little credit. I don't know if you heard the interview, but he was on the Dan Levitard show the other morning, and Levitard just ripped him. Now, you know, Levitard lives in Miami. You know, they were, I don't know if you want to call them Marlins fans. They're kind of pseudo-Marlins fans. And he ripped Manfred on all these topics and was really... You know, I almost want to say took it too far, but that's kind of what they do to get the attention. You know, that's how you get the attention now in broadcasting. You got to take things too far. And Manfred stayed with the call. I mean, I don't think anybody would have been surprised if he would have just hung up and said, hey, you know, screw this guy or whatever. But he actually stayed with the call and, you know, went all the way through with them and, you know, did the best he could. That's one of the first times I heard him say, you know, they had no idea what this group was going to do when they bought the team, which I don't know if I believe. Do you believe that? I don't know if you ever told me yes or no. Do you believe that was the case?
No, that one is one of the ones I really don't believe. I mean, that's why I said he really, I mean, yeah, you can give him credit for staying on the call, but can you imagine the backlash he would have gotten, especially with the Twitterverse today, had he hung up on him?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it would have been as bad as it was, because I mean it was Levitard was really over the line, you know, and it was just he really pushed the boundaries, and you know, mm-hmm. I'm assuming that baseball will, you know, none of the executives will ever go on that show again, so I kind of hope he got his money's worth, but. You know, on the plus side, he came off like an upset Marlins fan, which, you know, Jeter got to see up close and personal at Town Hall, even though I don't think he really answered any of their concerns, do you?
No, not at all. He just, you know, like I said, he really took the political route and, you know, just put the blame all on Jeter and company, which... at this point I think it's pretty easy to do, and I would have probably did the same thing too.
Oh yeah, you know, that's just how you that's kind of the only way this works out, right?
Yeah, but you've got to wonder, you remember, because Jeb Bush was supposed to be in on this, and I know there was the possibility of him being one of the Republican candidates for president, but I think we all kind of figured that wasn't going to happen, especially because of his brother and his father. I don't think the country would vote another Bush, but that's a whole other topic. But you've got to wonder if his pulling out of the group of Jeter had anything to do with what this group had plans to do. You know, if I'm Jeb Bush, I mean, do I really want my name associated? And, you know, not really kind of getting behind him, but maybe this was something we just didn't know about back when, that, you know, my point was going, I'm Jeb Bush, do I want my name associated, especially being a Florida man, with a team coming in to buy a team that you think is going to make things better when you just completely dismantle it and destroy it?
Yeah, you know, I guess it would depend what his, you know, aspirations are. I mean, obviously, if he's going to stay in Florida, yeah, you don't want anything to do with that. You know, you're
yeah,
running as far away as you can from it.
Yeah, and Bush's, whether you love him or hate him, it really doesn't matter. You know, both Georges loved baseball. They both owned and owned teams. You know, I forget what, I don't know if they fully owned them, but, you know, both were involved, one or the other, with the Astros and the Rangers. And, you know, they're businessmen, and they ran it like a business, and they didn't come into those ownerships and completely destroy the Rangers or the Astros. So, you know, I know it's in hindsight, and you really can't say anything, but I think it kind of answers the question back when you posed it. Why did Jeb Bush pull out of being in a group with Jeter and Company? Because they were just trying to make the Yankees better.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, this is probably the answer. I mean, when you look at it, you know, it makes total sense for him not to want to be part of a dismantling of a franchise. And I understand, you know, if you're a longtime Marlins fan, you know, this has happened to you, I think, at least one other time, maybe two. Yeah, you know, because every time they won a World Series before, you know, they used to rip the franchise apart. And, you know, and I know they've managed to win two. You know, and then, you know, last time it was, you know, Cabrera went away and a lot, you know, any other talented player they had on the team, you know, was shipped off by, I think, Jeffrey Lurie was owning the team, was the owner at the time, and he's notoriously a horrible owner, but he's got the money and keeps, I think he owned a football team at one point in time as well. So, I could see it being tough. I mean, I don't know how I feel if, you know, it was the team I rooted for. You know, I could tell you, I probably wouldn't be going to games. So, you know, I mean, a team that already has bad attendance may have just made it worse.
Mm-hmm. You know, they haven't really come out and made a statement, you know, i.e. like the White Sox. Unfortunately, you know, for whatever, I don't even want to say for whatever reason, because you and I both know the reason. The White Sox don't really draw, but they, with what they're doing now, you still have an enticement. Is that the word? You still have a reason to go.
Yeah.
The games to see these young kids come up. And then once the White Sox do win, you know, all the White Sox fans will show up in groves for, you know, playoffs and the end of the season. But, you know, that's a couple of years down the road. You know, not when they're having the best record in Major League Baseball with one of the best pitchers in baseball, left-handed pitchers in baseball on the mound, and you've got, you know, 1,500 people there, but that's just another story. Oh, it's a weekday. Well, the Cubs were playing that same day, and they were sold out. So don't give me that crap. You know, I mean, you know, like you said, what reason would I want to go to a Marlins game? Last year, and you're going to laugh at this, okay? Last year, my dad decided he wanted to travel to see the Cubs. He had two destinations, Cincinnati and Miami. Where did he go? Cincinnati. Because it was cheaper and, you know, he just didn't have the, you know, he's like, I looked into it. He's like, I, you know, did a little research online. Yes, my dad does that. He's, you know, not completely that old. But he said, you know, it seems from what he read and, you know, reviews and things like that, he said, seemed like he'd have a better time in Cincinnati than he would in Miami because people actually go to the games, even if the team sucks. Not during the week, but, you know, on the weekends. So he opted to go to Cincinnati. Plus, it was cheaper. You know, and he even said, he goes, maybe if the team was just maybe better and had more excitement behind it, maybe I would have went to Miami. But I just didn't really see the excitement of going down there. You know, so, you know, my dad's not the world traveler like some people are, but is Miami on the top of your destination list? Especially not now.
Yep. Probably not for a baseball game. You know, I mean, if you were going to see the Heat, maybe, you know, or I could understand the Dolphins with as odd as, you know, the NFL is. But, yeah, I you know, can't really give you a reason to, you know, to go see the Marlins unless, you know, the only advantage would be is it's going to be easy to get tickets.
Yeah.
You know, and it's Florida, so the weather, you know, the weather should be good.
Well, and you got to imagine that's one of those things. Well, hey, we're in Miami for a week because we're ballers.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to rain today all day, all day. Well, there's a dome. Let's go to a Marlins game. Oh, tickets are 10 bucks. What the hell? We could just sneak down to the bottom. Maybe take
you know, I mean, yeah, however. Yeah, you can walk in or, you know, however that works out. So, but yeah, it's definitely, you know, that may be the best drawing point for out of town fans is, you know, it's going to be pretty easy to grab tickets. So, but I did see today that, the Orioles have announced that they do not expect to trade Manny Machado. The term they used, no sufficient bid emerging, is how they looked at it. But interestingly, one of the rumored bids, and I'm a little surprised they didn't find this sufficient.
Hey, go potty real quick.
So, hey, you forgot to mute yourself, Dan. But one of the bids the Orioles didn't find sufficient for Manny Machado was a Cubs offer that was based around Addison Russell, Albert Almora, and Mike Montgomery. Now, the interesting thing is I'm guessing this was an insufficient offer because what the Orioles really want in any type of Machado trade is starting pitching. And they're looking for young, just about or exactly at major league ready starting pitching. While obviously Russell is a fantastic defensive shortstop who, you know, has decent power. Not quite sure what Almora is because he hasn't been given the opportunity to play every day. But Mike Montgomery doesn't fit into a young kind of up and coming starting pitching. And oddly, that's the one thing that is a real weakness for the Cubs is they don't have a, you know, any kind of dearth of starting pitching that they can go into their farm system and go, oh yeah, we'll give you these two guys. I mean, when you kind of look at the roster, it's null and void. And, you know, Dan and I have talked about it before about their inability to develop pitching. You know, when you look at the roster, it's Carl Edwards Jr. and pretty much nobody else has come through the Cubs organization. So it's just not a match there as interesting as it would be for, you know, Machado to be the everyday shortstop for the Cubs and, you know, what it would do to not only the NL Central, but, you know, the Cubs as a contender on their own. You know, it just doesn't look like there's a match for these teams. And you just kind of wonder, you know, if they're going to find it or how or why they settle on a move as the season gets going. Because, again, you know, we all know Machado is in his final year of arbitration. He's projected to make about $17.3 million. So where... You know, who takes that shot for half a year or three quarters of a year and hopes they can resign him? You know, I don't think you're going to get the quality you want. I don't think you're going to get two major league ready or close to major league ready starting pitchers for a guy that a team may only have for three quarters or half of a year. So, you know, it sounds like they may have walked away from an interesting Cub deal. I mean, I wonder if Javi Baez was the name in there instead of Addison Russell, if the deal may have been a little different, or maybe if it's Baez and Schwarber that are the two names plugged in there, they're looking at that deal in a little better light. But, you know, we'll see if they change their mind. I mean, you know how teams are. This could all be you know, a BS distraction to try to get teams to up their offer. So I don't know, Dan, where are you standing on this?
Number one, I think you asked me if I saw him getting traded, and while all the experts, it's time for the Orioles to sell high. It's time for them to sell high on a guy, like you said, they're not going to keep, and that another team's only going to have for a year. So I pretty much said before that he was not going to be traded until possibly deadline time, or, you know, after clearing waivers, you know, a position like that is needed. But the Cubs, I mean, to me, the Cubs throw me that deal, and you don't even have to be, you know, in-depth research on the Cubs. You just have to read a few articles to know that Mike Montgomery is the odd man out, as well as Albert Almora Jr. And then Addison Russell, why do the Cubs want to give up on him after touting him and, you know, really boasting about him since landing, acquiring him from Oakland? Well, it's kind of like, well, you had that small domestic issue, which I still think played a role in why they, besides the fact they don't sign, closers, I still think that's part of the reason they didn't want to bring him back for a lot of the slack they got for even bringing him in to begin with, because, you know, that was going to suck all the fun out of Joe Madden's, Harry Potter hour, or whatever the hell you want to call it, what he does. So to me, it just sounds like, well, here's three guys we really don't want for your guys. You know, I mean, don't get me wrong. I think Addison Russell could be a good addition. But at the same time, it's just kind of like, well, we got a guy who wants to be a starting pitcher, but he hasn't really proven himself to be one. So here, good luck. And then we'll give you an outfielder, which I don't even think they really need. In Almora, we'll give you a fifth outfielder. It just, the offer didn't really, wouldn't be enticing to me either. I think, like you said, turned around, had Schwarber been involved with it, Schwarber more so Baez, if you threw those two in there and then threw me Mike Montgomery, I think it's a little bit of better of a deal. I think we'd have a great hitter and a great clubhouse guy with Baez, excitement. People could really get behind it. He could play short or third. I don't, as long as he's playing every day, I think he could just get better. I don't remember their DH issue in Baltimore, but I mean, you and I went down to see Schwarber play in a minor league game, and only to discover by looking at his stats that he didn't even really play the field. He just DH'd. So he's built to be a DH. He could do all the working out he wants. He's been groomed to be a DH in a National League team. And then maybe you could work with Montgomery. But with the deal they offered, we want two young pitchers. Well, we'll give you a young outfielder and a young infielder.
So, yeah, and we did have some, a few more signings today. Looks like three that were announced. Matt Adams is going to join the Nationals. Oddly, he'll basically take the place of Adam Lind. He'll plug into that same role as a part-time outfielder, part-time first baseman. And, he's a left-handed bat. The Nationals re-signed Brandon Kitzner to their bullpen. They went out and made a bunch of deals to try to strengthen that bullpen, and he was one of the moves. There were reports that he was going to go back to Minnesota, but he ended up re-signing with the Nationals today. So they made two of the three signings. The third one was the Indians today. They're looking for a way to replace Carlos Santana. So they agreed. The reports are it's 2 years and $16 million with Yonder Alonso. So we'll see if that works out. Now, I heard a whole thing on Alonso today, Dan, about how his game improved when he adjusted his launch angle and started swinging up on the baseball. And, it worked out last year. He hit 22 bombs for Oakland before they dealt him to Seattle. He ended up hitting six. So he hit a career-high 28 home runs last year. He had never reached double digits before. So do you think the Indians are getting maybe a one-year anomaly guy who just went out and had the best year of his career, or can this guy be a legitimate Carlos Santana replacement?
I think that one remains to be seen, but if you're putting percentages, I would go 60-40, the 1 year kind of thing.
And, you know, it looks like they got him, you know, he's on a, you know, again, it's so weird to say that these are team-friendly deals, but it's 2 years at $16 million. And then there's a vesting option and $1 million buyout that go along with a possible third season. You know how these contracts work out now. They you know, have all these interesting little clauses and stuff. But, you know, he's a career 268 hitter. Oddly, it was kind of funny. He had 266 with the A's last year, and then when they traded him, he had 265 with the Mariners. So he was right on last year in that 260 area. First-time All-Star last year. He was the A's All-Star representative. You look at the stats, and I mean, you know, his homer totals, 5-9-6-7, 5-7, and then 28. And it's like, wait a minute.
I know what that means.
You know, and that's, you know, I mean, that's obviously the first thing you think of is, wait a minute, how did he jump? You know, to almost a 30 homer guy in his, you know, his seventh major league season.
Yeah, well, one of the things that makes me sad about the game today is that we get excited about a guy who's hitting 265.
Yeah. you know, to be fair, though, you know, he is a solid defender. Mm-hmm. You know, he had a 992 fielding percentage with the A's. Just 984 with the Mariners, had a little more defensive trouble there. So they're getting a solid defensive guy. I guess the talk is, and I'll be interested to see how this goes, with Santana leaving and Alonso coming in, I guess Edwin Encarnacion is going to play a little more first base. I don't know how you feel about that, considering he's not a great defensive first baseman.
Maybe it's just to get him out there on the field.
Yeah, it would be interesting. But now, you know, they did pass, and this is kind of interesting. You know, if you're looking for a left-handed first baseman, you know, some of the guys they left on the market, Logan Morrison, your guy Lucas Duda, and then, of course, Eric Hosmer, you know, Hosmer seems to kind of be the odd man out here all of a sudden. You know, he doesn't rank well sabermetrically, and you wonder if that's kind of holding him back. But, you know, he hit 28 bombs, and he's a fantastic defender. So I don't know. I mean, if you had your choice out of the four, would you have went with Alonso?
Probably not, but they probably just didn't want to pay what he was asking.
Yeah, but, you know, you probably could have got Duda for the same type of money. Now, Alonso is a better defender than Duda, but I think Duda, obviously, a little better power guy, at least, you know, through his career, more consistent. You know, he just didn't have a, you know, kind of a one-year anomaly. I mean, this is a guy who's been hitting, you know, he hit 30 bombs last year. You know, he's done that twice in his career, and then he's, you know, another year he had 27. So, I mean, he's a consistent power hitter. You know, obviously the average is a little lower. He's 242 for his career, but, you know, that's not a huge drop off. You know, I mean, did defense weigh that much of a factor with, you know, Encarnacion being the other guy? You think maybe they wanted to weigh in on a defensive guy?
I think that could be part of it. You know, they didn't want to shell out more money for Haas, and you know, we don't know. My source is close to any other, you know, to his camp, haven't you know, really released or told me where he might be leaning towards. So maybe they, you know, they didn't want to pay him, but not only the fact that maybe he was leaning to not go to Cleveland. And then if you throw it between Duda and Alonso, with already having Encarnacion, I think you'd be better off kind of going with the defense on that one.
Yeah, you know, and Morrison had a huge year with, you know, 38 bombs for Tampa Bay last year. I haven't heard much on what a price tag would be for him, but they weren't going to get him for 2 years at $16 million. You know, yeah. It definitely would have been more than that. So,
that could be the other thing. Maybe they didn't want to weigh in on a long-term deal, because you got to assume that Duda, Hosmer, and Morrison are looking for at least 4 to 5. You know, 5 seems to be the magic number. I told you, Big Jack, a couple years ago, after the Pujols deal and a couple of the other ones, I really did not see guys, you know, kind of in the middle, you know, high 20s, that the contract terms, you know, the money might be there, the money might be high, but I didn't think we were going to continue to see these 7, 8, 9, 10-year contracts. Unless you're, you know, Bryce Harper and Manny Machado.
Wait till next year. I want to hear that next offseason. All right. So.
We'll tell you how stupid they were, too.
Short deal. But, yeah, you know, I mean, we know Hosmer's looking for long-term, and I would assume, you know, Morrison is probably looking for 3 or 4 years as well after the year he had. It just kind of seems like my guess they were picking between Duda and Alonso, and they just decided to go with Alonso, you know, as their option.
And Hosmer has the ring, so.
Yeah.
I think he's looking to get paid.
So, yeah, he's definitely, you know, this is probably his only chance to cash in on a big deal. So, you know, if he's going to do it, he needs to do it this time through, which may mean, you know, going to a losing team like San Diego and hoping the rebuild works out, because, you know, the window's slowly closing. You know, the Red Sox decided to bring back Moreland. You know, now we got the Indians off the board. I mean, there, I don't know how many more first base openings there are, you know, out there on winning teams.
What about Texas?
So, Texas, yeah, you know, I mean, depending on, you know, if they want to play Joey Gallo, you know, if they decide to finally let him play full time. You know, there could be, you know, an opening there. You know, depending on if you think the Mets are bouncing back. I know they have that prospect. You know, they have that prospect, that Dominic Smith, but he's really young. I think he's only 22. So he may not be ready for, you know, prime time like that. With the way the Cardinals juggle things around, he could sign there and Matt Carpenter could move back to second base or something. You know, you wonder if that's an option, but, you know, yeah, the, you know, slowly but surely, you know, maybe, you know, Colorado could be another thing if, you know, he signed there, Desmond could go to the outfield, but yeah, there aren't, you know, a ton of openings. Maybe the Mariners, you know, that might be a, you know, if they're willing to take on another big contract. But yeah, you know, other than that, I mean, I know, you know, well, I'm guessing now Gurriel is set as the Astros everyday first baseman, so that's probably not an opening. You know, other than that, he could, you know, Kansas City, he'd have to go back to Kansas City, but that would be a you know, much less money.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you know, just kind of looking around. Yeah. Not a huge amount of, you know, stuff out there.
Yeah. Well, the White Sox could find Machado, you know, trade for Machado and get Hosmer, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, they could. I don't know if that's going to happen, you know, but, I guess it's always nice to, it's always nice to kind of be like, hey, cool, you know, this could be something neat, but, you know, I think you know, they're still a year or two away from, running that kind of out there. But, I know we're coming up against the clock, Dan, but I was dying to know if you had seen this article or anything reporting on this today. But Vince McMahon has sold $100 million worth of WWE shares to help fund what's being called a sports focus group.
Wow.
So, apparently he's going to fund something called Alpha Entertainment, LLC, and it's going to explore investment opportunities across the sports and entertainment landscape, including professional football. As you know, we talked the other day about the chance of him restarting the football league and the fact that he applied for copyrights on some football, some football specific names and terms. I don't know. Are we going to see him take that venture, or do you think maybe there's another route?
I mean, it's pretty interesting that he needed $100 million to put together a focus group.
Yeah, you and I would have done it for a lot less.
Mm-hmm. Do we need another football league? You're McMahon? Yes.
He filed. They don't have them all here, but he officially filed for 5 trademarks on December 16th to the XFL and some of the other stuff I know you and I mentioned the other day. So, I don't know if football's going to be the route, or if he's got another plan. I don't know what, obviously if you're copywriting football stuff, you would think football's in the works, but I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe his focus group will focus in on LeVar Ball and they'll kind of work a deal together.
Yeah.
Well,
there you go. They could combine
it,
the basketball league and the football league.
I mean, did he already purchase the domain names? Can we get in on that?
I think he may have already beat us to the punch there. So, we'll have to come up with another plan. At least you and I will. But yeah, I just thought it was interesting that he sold, $100 million worth of stuff to kind of seem to figure out if maybe this was a good idea. couldn't you have just given us that $100 million?
Yeah, you're with me. You have $100 million. Yeah, start a football.
All right, so Dan and I are going to take off. Now, Dan is going to start his Christmas break a little early. I will ask Chomper Stu to see if he wants to come back on. He hasn't been on in a while with me, and I'm sure he has lots of Cubs questions to ask everybody. So maybe Stu and I will be here tomorrow. You'll have to check it out. You know the deal while we're away, though. Get over to sportstimeradio.com. If you didn't read the blog yesterday, read it today. So what else do we do? Oh, yeah, click on over to the Facebook page and give that a like. But don't forget the Twitter feed, which is @SportsTimeRadio. Big thanks for listening. Live school, Dan and I really like it when you jump on and do that. But don't forget, the podcast is available for you to listen to anytime you want right over at tunein.com.
Roll out. Roll out. Roll out.
Sports Time Radio.